Praise the Lord, everybody. Happy New Year. My wife and I were serving in Germany many, many years ago. We put on the Armed Forces radio to count down the new year. And all of a sudden, it became New Year's, and I said, honey, let's listen to the ball drop in New York. And we waited and waited and waited, and I said, I can't believe that they did not put the ball drop on in New York City. Then it dawned on me, it was only 6 o'clock in the evening in New York City. So, happy New Year to you all, 2023. Who would have believed? Who would have believed outside of Jesus that we'd still be here? Amen. And I appreciate all of you being here. I thank God for the invitation from Pastor Portman and the great job that he and his wife Courtney are doing. And amen. Praise God. And certainly, I definitely want to honor Brother and Sister Schumacher, great friends of ours, and not only in the ministry, but just personal friends. And thank God for them, and thank God for their work here in this area for many, many, many years. 34 years is a long time, folks. Amen. And so we're very, very thankful for them. And I am very thankful for Sister Ashley. Amen. You won't know this, and I didn't tell you when you were talking to me this morning, but you confirmed the message that we're to preach here today. And I thank God for when that happens. You know, when you stop and think about God, and you think about preaching, yeah, I guess that after 40 or 50 years of preaching, you know, you can go through the Rolodex of messages and so forth. But you know what? God never had us eat stale bread. He always has us have that new bread, that new thought. And even though there's nothing said under the sun that hasn't already been said before, but praise God, I thank God for confirmation. And confirmation, because that tells me that God cares for this church, that he wants to speak to this church today. And I hope that I can deliver the message as I thought I received it. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to a very, very familiar scripture found in the Psalms, Psalm 34. And also, I'd like for you to turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Amen. Thank you, praise singers. I always enjoy the musicians, the praise singers here at Apostolic Life Church. Amen. Or Apostolic Faith Church. I'm getting old, folks. Amen. I want you to read verse 3 of Psalm 34. Now, I don't want to just this. Youth, if your youth is still up here, I don't know. But I want you to read it with enthusiasm. I want you to read it like these fans that are going to be in Green Bay today. I guarantee you that they are not just going to sit there. Amen? I want us to read it with gusto, all right? David wrote these words. Let's read it together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Hallelujah. Magnify the Lord with me. In the Gospel of Luke, first chapter, the 46th verse, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." In your hearing today, I want to speak on this subject: magnifying one moment in time. Magnifying one moment in time. Can you lift up your hands and your voice? Pastor Portman, would you please pray?
Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you and thank you, God. We look to you, Lord God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to a neighbor and give him a high five and say, "I want to magnify the Lord today, and I want you to do it with me." Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Nothing new to an apostolic church, but the Bible emphatically expresses that God is a spirit. John 4 and 24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him can, if they want to. They can if you feel like it." No, it says it, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is omnipresent, meaning that God's power and his knowledge extends to all parts of creation, that he and he alone is present everywhere. King David stated in Psalm 139, in verse 7, he said, "Whither shall I go? Where am I going to go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell," he's talking about the grave, "behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth or the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." In that very passage, David was declaring the omnipresence of the Almighty. God is God. He always has been, and he always will be. And he is right now. God is present. Wherever the furthest distant star is in our galaxy, and even beyond that, that is known by mankind, there is no place that God is not. So when David states in our text, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." The question then comes to mind, how can we ever be able to magnify God, who is already as great as it gets? David also wrote in Psalm 145, he said in verse 3, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable." Now the text that we read in Psalm 34, magnify, and the Hebrew word for magnify is gadol. It is defined as to twist, that is to causatively make large. And in this verse, David is inviting the humble, who he knew who would rejoice at the goodness of God. With him is joining with him in ascribing greatness to the Lord. How many in here know that God is great? You wouldn't be here if you didn't think God was great. If God's not able to do anything for you, you wouldn't step through these doors. But I know and you know that God is able to do anything. Amen. He's able. He's able, he's able, he's able. David says, David understood that God cannot be made great by men, but can only be declared how great he is. And that can only be done in an imperfect manner. Folks, we're not perfect. I don't know about you, but sometimes I apologize to God. And you know what the apology is? God, it seems like I just say the same thing that I said last time. Can I get a witness? I feel like my vocabulary is limited. I feel like, and I think, God, you must get tired of hearing this. But I'm not so sure that he does. Because every time that we confess, when we got in the car this morning, we had a little bit of ice on the deal. I said, God, I'm asking you. I plead your blood over our lives. Amen. I plead your blood over our vehicle, that it would work mechanically safe, that you would keep it from other vehicles and other vehicles from it. And bless God that you keep your people and your animals off the road before us. I pray that every time I get in the car. Oh, Brother Putnam, can't you just have faith that God will do it? Yeah? I have faith, too, that my children love me, but I love to hear them say, I love you, Dad. Hello? My son-in-law, and you know Brother Schmidt, he was here not too long ago. Amen. He thought I was being somewhat foolish about that prayer. We call it the critter prayer. Amen. And he says, now, don't you think? And I said, well, I'm not taking any chances. And that very trip, he was with me. All of a sudden, here came a deer. And I'm not kidding. He was ready to cross the highway. And all of a sudden, he jumped up, turned this way, and ran right alongside the car. And Chris said, I'm a believer. Praise God. He's exalted. By praising him in the highest strains, by having the high praises of God in our mouths, and there is more pleasure as well as more glory is brought to God by doing this in a social way. Or by a number of saints joining together in such a service to him by magnifying one moment of time. Hallelujah. Church, why don't you stand to your feet right now? Why don't we do a little bit of magnification here? Why don't you lift up your hands with me? Why don't we let us exalt his name together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, for saving me. Hallelujah. 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 Church, you talk about greatness. You may be seated. I'm sorry if you thought I was done. You talk about greatness. Just think of God's greatness in his eternal plan. His logos. The plan that Isaiah prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 7, he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I think the last time I was here, I preached on that. Some 800 years passed after that was prophesied. And sure enough, an angel by the name of Gabriel was sent to a young girl named Mary. And the angel came to her, says Luke 1:28. Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, I guess so. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 35 says, And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, it was just a moment. And the Word of God, the seed of God, the Logos of God was implanted inside Mary's womb. Church, this was not so much a physical experience as it was a spiritual experience that had a physical outcome. And Mary replied to Gabriel, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her. It was but one moment in time, prophesied 800 years before, but one moment in time, and God's eternal plan and purpose was in place. God's will would come to pass just as it was told throughout the scriptures. God always has confirmed his word and his acts by two or three witnesses. Elizabeth's pregnancy was not known by Mary. You know, they didn't have smartphones, payphones, telegraph, and they lived some distance away. She had no idea that Elizabeth was expecting a child. Matter of fact, that would have been the farthest thing from Mary's thoughts because of Elizabeth being barren for so long. Until the angel told her. So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, her cousin. Now, church, even though Mary has just had an encounter with an angel, much like all of us, I think she wanted some confirmation to this. Hello? And as Mary greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt her own promised child literally leap inside her womb. And Elizabeth said, For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Then came the second confirmation. Elizabeth said, nothing had been told to Elizabeth yet, as far as we know, amen, about what Elizabeth, or about Mary's experience. And Elizabeth then said, And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And sure enough, that one moment of time that Mary experienced back in Nazareth was now beginning to be magnified. For Mary states, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name. For his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Hallelujah, church. Visitor friend today, it doesn't matter who you are. What Mary magnified that day is still being magnified. For God's mercy continues to be upon them that respect him, that revere him. No wonder David invited all of us to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. Has God ever heard your prayers? Has God ever heard your prayers? Amen. Has God ever heard your prayers? Has God ever answered your prayers? He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I had a little situation just this last Friday. I told Pastor Schumacher, this past Wednesday, my son and his wife and we went to a new restaurant in Sheboygan. It's an Indian restaurant. And of all names, they called it Spices. And my son ordered a dish, and my daughter-in-law ordered a dish, my wife ordered a dish, all different. And I ordered a dish, and there was another brother that was with us, he ordered a dish, and my grandson was there, he ordered a dish, and, well, we thought this is our first time, we might as well try everything. So we started switching our, you know, and sharing. Little did I know that we were creating a nuclear digestive bomb. I walked out of that restaurant on Wednesday. We went to Walmart for something, and all of a sudden, I began to get severe chest pains on my left side of my body. Anybody tell you anything about that kind of thing with men, left side, pain, chest, you know? And I'm thinking, this is not natural. And then I started burping, and I thought, this is indigestion. And I don't get too much of that. All Wednesday night, all Thursday, the whole day. And then Friday, I woke up in the morning and my chest is still hurting. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I should call. Anybody ever been there? Maybe I should call. So I picked up the phone and I mean, we had a lot to do that day. And we picked up the phone, and I called our doctor's office. And I said, hey, this is John Putnam. I said, I've been having chest pains for the last 3 days on my left side. And she said, come in right now. Right now. I told Joanne, I said, honey, change of plans. We're going to the doctor. Now, I've told you all that because on the ride to the place, and you know, I'm a little bit concerned. But as we're driving, I never said anything to my wife until after we were coming home. But on our way, we got about probably 2 miles from the doctor's office, and a voice that I know very, very clearly spoke to me and said, John, I have this. And right away, all concern left. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Brothers and sisters, you and I cannot make God any greater or larger than he already is. But we can continue to emphasize and talk about his greatness. which then magnifies him in all of what he has done and continues to do for you and I, both in us and through us. Amen. Matter of fact, just a week ago, we celebrated the results of Mary's one moment in time, for God's word was fulfilled in her when she brought forth the promise and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in that manger. And we continue to this very moment to magnify that moment. There have been reenactments of the Lord's birth all over the world this past week. Church, God made a promise to each and every one of us through his word that in flesh he would come. The great I am, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. And 33 and a half years later, after Christ's passion and his resurrection, Thomas, one of his disciples, doubted the disciples' witness about the Lord's resurrection. And Thomas, you know, Thomas was one of these guys that just, I won't believe it till I see it. And yet it all it took with Thomas was just one moment of time. And when he looked at the Lord's nail-scarred hands and put his hand in his side, then Thomas began to magnify by saying, my Lord and my God. In that one moment, he received the revelation of the mighty God in Christ. Is there anyone here today that has also received that revelation, amen, of the mighty God in Jesus Christ? I'm not serving one of three or two-thirds of three. I'm serving the Almighty God who is the Father, who is the Son, and who is the Holy Spirit, amen. Praise God. How is this possible? Throughout time and by unction, Jesus Christ has been magnified. Just prior to the Lord's ascension, he told his own disciples to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Folks, as those 120 assembled themselves in that upper room in Jerusalem, amen, just as with Mary some 33 years before, they were all praying together, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly, amen, I'm telling you, they weren't begging, they weren't tearing, it was a sudden moment. There came a sound from heaven, and it was a rushing mighty wind, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled as they were sitting, amen, church. This was not a drawn out event of tearing and begging. No, it was but one moment in time. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and some of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. Partial of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. No, all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. At that moment, again, Jesus began to be magnified. And they worshiped and praised him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because it resulted in Jesus after his resurrection and after them being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It resulted, amen, for them, amen, to all of a sudden to get out of their comfort zones. Amen. And they began to start doing something. Does anybody in here have ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you've ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, would you please stand? We're in a Pentecostal church, right? Amen. How long did it take you to receive the Holy Ghost? Huh? I didn't ask you how long you prayed for it. I said, how long did it take you to receive it? It was just a moment, right? It was just a moment, right? Amen. How many are different in this house than you were that moment that you received the Holy Ghost? How many of you have come through years and trials and tests and health problems? Amen. Brother Stiles, God bless you. Amen. But I'm telling you, what have we been doing all this time? We've been magnifying the Lord. Amen. That He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above. I don't know about you, but I'm still excited about that experience. I'm still excited about that moment of time. Amen. I'm still excited, Jim. Or Brother Schumacher. I'm still excited. That's why you're here. Because you're still excited. Because we come together, and what do we do here? Nice choir. Good musicians. Are you kidding me? We are here to magnify. What are we magnifying? We are magnifying the power of the Logos of God, that one moment of time when God stepped out through an angel Gabriel, proclaimed a prophecy, amen, and in one moment of time, she received in her womb, amen, and bless God, she had no idea except for what the angel said, and none of us have any idea of what God's going to do and how God's going to use the fruit of our womb, but I'm telling you, God knows. And so in a birth comes, amen. You know, I don't know about you, but every time I go to the doctor, they said, what date were you born? What date were you born?
525.
How do you know that? I always tell the nurses, and what's your birth date? I said, it's 3/22/1950. Yeah, at least that's what my mother told me. We take a lot of things by faith. Hello? Hey, I pastored a man in Germany who had no idea when he was born. He had no idea, but I guarantee you there was a God in heaven when he was born, even though he was put out on the street because he was born on an unlucky day. He was put out there to die, but bless God, that birth date meant something to God because God could see that he is no respecter of people and that he is going to continue to be magnified. That's why I say, Pentecostals, don't shut up. You need to shout out the greatness and the goodness. Yeah. Of Almighty God. Amen. Did you see that video? Boy, wouldn't it be nice to be young again? Church, we dare not become sedentary in our spirituality. That thinking that we have somehow through age or an amount of time, amen, that we have now, amen, arrived, and bless God, we just need to wait for a trumpet sound or our last breath. No, my friend, we need to be as on fire as we can be, amen, to constantly, because all we are doing, Brother Bear, is we are magnifying one moment of time that happened centuries ago. And yet it happens through us every day if we'll let it. Musicians, if you would come. David's. Can you worship him? Can you worship him? Can you really worship him? Can you magnify him right now? Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, folks, bless God. Amen. Experience is worth some things. That's why you can never just indeed allow it to fade away. Amen. You need to talk about the good things of God every day of your life. Hallelujah. I'm still talking about 30 years ago when I fell asleep at the wheel of a car going 95 miles an hour, and in 4 miles I was asleep. You know who brought me through that? The Jesus that I know. That's who brought me through that. He'll bring you through sickness. He'll bring you through school. He'll bless you. And what's so beautiful, even when we get older, he said, I'll never forsake you. Can you lift your hands in your own way? And I just wonder if you feel led that you would come on up here and let's magnify him together. Let us exalt his name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. God, fill me again. Fill me again with excitement. Fill me again with your authority. Fill me again, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.